Well, as we get started on our launch Sunday, the Great Gathering, if you want to call it that, our getting together in this YMCA venue, it is my joy and privilege to speak to you today. And there was some speak and discussion about what we would talk about, and someone had mentioned about getting fit. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about what that looks like, driven, of course, by Scripture. This will not be psychobabble. Although today you're going to take an inventory. This will be driven by Scripture, obviously. That's why we're here. But we're going to talk about our spirituality. We're going to talk about our emotions. We're going to talk about our physical health. And we're going to talk about our social health. And that is the whole makeup of a Christian. Now, I wanted to mention one thing earlier about spiritual fitness. And I'll talk about it early rather than later. Yesterday, we handed out about 200 meals and toiletries. And if you weren't there, I understand schedules and I get it, but boy, you missed out. And what you missed out on is what Darcy said, and that was joy. We met people down there. I mean, a woman was broken in tears on a sidewalk and professed faith in Christ. I spoke to another person, his name was Pablo, and I told him we'd help him if we could. And he was thinking about it. I talked to him for at least 10 minutes. I told him about Jesus. I told him about my life, where I've been, and where I am now. And what this does to us spiritually, it empowers us to live lives that are more reflective of Jesus in all circumstances. Does it take courage? Oh, yeah. Does it take stepping out of your comfort zone? Yeah, it does. But we drove around and the devil tried to stop us. There was devils all over the street. But he couldn't stop us. And finally, at the last, we found it. That camp had about 150 to 200 people in it. Under the bridge, there must have been 30 tents under each side by the columns. And then you saw the picture up on hill. And that's only a part of it. There was a whole other section to the right of that picture and up over the other way and down the hill that was all still tents over there. People were coming up over the hill running to get our stuff. They're God's children, whether they're saved or not. Didn't he create all of us? And they're hungry. We saw women out there who were probably prostitutes. They were in tight dresses with needle marks all over their arms. People that were disabled. People are broken. Sleeping under a bridge. You say, well, they're there by choice. No, they're not. Not all of them. Maybe there are some. What would happen to you if you had no one to turn to and you suddenly had $250,000 in medical expenses and you had nowhere to go? Where would you go? Would you go into the bridge over there on Hanson? They wouldn't have you there for 5 minutes, would they? No. This is our call. What we did yesterday, and you all helped in, is our call. That's what we're supposed to do. And I want to get you fit for duty. I don't want you to feel bad if you weren't there. That's not the point. Feel good and joyous that we were there. Because God called us to be there. But next time, I want to see you there. We spent over $2,000 feeding people. You need to help out with that. Right into the fund so we could do this again. Getting fit. Yesterday, for me, I mean all of us, Caleb, Addie, Emily, Darcy. I'm thinking of all of us that were there. Me, Michelle, Tiffany. Miss someone? Georgie and Paul. All we did after was talk about it. Michelle, how long have I known you? 7 years? I think I've gotten 7 texts from you in 7 years. Not a bad thing, but just we talk because we talk. It's text. Yesterday I got 25 texts from you. She's like, man, this is the greatest thing. Oh my goodness, tears, joy, happy. That's what it does to you spiritually when you do God's work. We were the hands and feet of the Holy Spirit. Those pictures don't represent the entire scene. I wish we would have had, there were times when there must have been 75 people by the trucks. But I didn't want to be down there saying, oh, we're going to get pressed for this and start taking pictures with Generation Church sign. We're not going to do that. I just wanted to show you the context in which we serve the Lord. So we got to get fit. We got to get fit spiritually. So this first symbol, I chose this because, you know, there's an archery term in Scripture, and it's called sin. It's an archery term, you know, and that means to miss the mark. We know the Bible says what sin is. It's an offense to God. It's something we should not do. It's evil. It's wicked. It's from the old person's nature. And we miss the mark, is how Paul said it. And so we want to hit the mark. We want to hit the bullseye in our spirituality. And I would have to say to you today that if you're involved, there's a lot of people that make this morning happen. Every week, you're faithful. 52 out of Sundays, I mean, you're here. I'm praised to see your happy, smiling faces. And we're thanking God for that. But we could use more. Everybody has something that they can do. And if you don't, I will find you something to do. Trust me. All right. So what is the foundation for this series? Here it is. I've probably read this 100 times more, you know, a couple hundred times. You have too. Let me read it to you. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Don't waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So getting spiritually fit or emotionally fit or socially fit or physically fit does have a whole lot of relevance to our spirituality. I believe that our spirituality is the foundation for the rest. We have to get that vertical relationship with God worked out. We have to get our mind right. We have to get our heart right with God. I'm not saying that yours is, but what I am doing is a call to action to see if it is. Now notice, I checked this in the Greek, where it says there in the third clause of verse 7, train yourself to be godly. Do you see what it says? Train yourself. It's not my job to train you how to be spiritual. My job is to teach you God's word. My job is to faithfully preach the word of God. It's your job to train yourselves to be godly. And we're going to look at a little bit about what godliness is. In fact, he goes on to talk a little bit more, but the benefit is there's benefits, promising benefits in this life and in the next. So did you know that if you become more spiritual, whatever that looks like for you, godly is what Paul said, if you become more godly, if you will, you're preparing yourself for when you leave. Think of that. When it's time for you to go be with the Lord, you'll be more ready. Whatever that might be. You say, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. How could you be more ready? You know, I haven't been there, so I don't know. But what I do know is what Scripture says. And the Scripture says, train yourself to be godly. And today I'm not going to leave you empty-handed. We're going to have a few principles to take with us as we go. But this is the foundation for the entire sermon series, because we do have to actively participate in our spirituality. And one of the ways that we do that is by stepping out of our comfort zone. I mean, Darcy helped lead this lady in the sinner's prayer. She got to be there when they accepted. Okay, that's wonderful. But that's stepping out of a comfort zone. One of our other team members said, man, I was scared. The safety issue. I could have got shot. I could have got mugged. I could have got robbed. And you know what? By the time we got down there and we opened up the trucks, people were coming and they were thankful. They were grateful. There was no crime. I was out there with my dumb hat on. I had this corn cob hat or whatever you call it, straw hat, like a fishing hat. And I was just out there trying to love people. I had a 15-minute conversation with Pablo. And I had him thinking. I told him about Jesus. Then we saw these other Latino preachers. There was a family or a church of folks, 7, 8 of them. And out of the back of their van, they were handing out burritos and pop and water and other things. And the guy said, "Do you want to preach?" And I went, I said, "Well, there's no one standing here. This isn't how you preach down there on Cedar in Hiawatha. There's no congregation. It's people not paying attention or laying in their tent drugged out, zombied out. Or those that were up and active were coming over limping toward us to get something to drink." And he goes, "I even got a speaker." So he pulls the speaker out of his van. He said, "Here," he gave me the microphone. Woo-hoo-hoo. I shouldn't have said I was a preacher. And so I started preaching. And I was just saying scripture. I didn't have a congregation. There wasn't rhetorical thought. It was Jesus saves. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And as I got started, more scripture came to mind and more and more and more and more. And I just kept giving it out. Next thing you know, he pushes me out of the way and he starts preaching, except he's like Spanish, you know. I can't do it. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But he's going off in Spanish and I'm sitting there amazed. This is awesome. You don't know what you're going to run into when you do these kind of things. You don't know the people that you'll meet. Well, in verse 8 it says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. Much better. In verse 9, this is a trustworthy saying and everyone should accept it. This is why we work hard and, in verse 9, continue to struggle. When you step outside of your comfort zone, when you act in faith, it may cause you to struggle. You need to struggle. We need to struggle against the wicked one of this world. And we need to be the hands and feet of the Holy Spirit no matter where we walk, where we are. And it says in 10, this is why we work hard and can struggle, for our hope is in the living God who is the Savior of all people. And here's verse 11. This is where I get to be Pastor Vince and be your priest, metaphorically speaking. I'm not a priest. I'm a preacher. But I am the pastor of Generations Church, and I insist, it says in 11, teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. I insist that you learn what I'm talking about. All right. So what is spiritual fitness? Spiritual fitness refers to your value system, ethics, character, your search for meaning, and your purpose in life, and your belief about God. This is where I separate myself from the psychologist. I'm not saying that psychologists are bad. They're not bad at all. We need the psychologist. We need all the sciences. Theology is the mother of all science. It's always been and it'll always be. That's hundreds, thousands of years old at this point. So we're not discounting any of the sciences. But I want you to know this is not psychobabble. This is straight out of scripture, and it combines the sciences, the social science, with the psychology, with the other things that are out there for us, emotional stability and fitness, if you will. What makes you healthy as an individual? And so, as it relates to our spirituality, these are the questions that we look at. And sometimes we summarize it by saying, what is your purpose and meaning in life? Remember Rick Warren of 25 years ago, whatever it was, wrote that book called Purpose Driven Life, because he was convinced at the time, and I'm sure he still is, that if a person walks this sod, this earth, and doesn't have meaning and find meaning in the things that they're doing, or they don't have a purpose, they're just wandering aimlessly, maybe like the people down there on Cedar in Hiawatha, they have no purpose in life. And it leads to drug addiction, and it leads to abuse, and it leads to further violence, and leads to gang, and further homelessness, and no job, and go on and on and on, because there's no purpose. I told Pablo, if he calls me, you better get ready. Because I said, call me, Pablo, I want to help you. I promise you, meaning you said it too, I promise you we will help you. Are you ready? Whatever that looks like, I don't know. But if a person asks for our help, we gonna turn them away? No. So, what is our value system, our ethics, our character? We're not going to get into those things individually, as it were. It's not necessary. Now let's take a 5-minute break. I know it's been intense. Well, let's take a little bit of a spiritual gift or a spiritual fitness inventory. Can you see it? I'll read it to you. So I want you to mark down or in your mind's eye, follow along. And all your answer is yes or no. Yes or no. I am willing to forgive myself and others. Yes or no? Number two, I have a sense of belonging, meaning, and purpose in life. Yes or no? I have a belief system, like your religious beliefs. Yes or no? I participate in regular spiritual activities with people who share my beliefs, and I'm open to hearing about others' beliefs. So if you go to church, you could probably say yes. Unless you're not open to hearing about what other people have to say. Need more time on these? Number five, I accept my limitations without embarrassment or apology. I keep the purpose of my life clear in my mind, and I let it guide my decisions. Yes or no? Number seven, I freely give to others. Remember, this is about our spiritual fitness. Number eight, I am comfortable with knowing things without knowing precisely how I know them. You ever said that? I know this, but I don't remember how I know it. Number nine, I allow others the freedom to believe what they want without pressuring them to accept my beliefs. Oh, by the way, as I read number nine, I was reminded yesterday, and I was hoping I remember to tell you this. You know how the media likes to portray that there's all this division in our country and that the Republicans hate the Democrats and this and that and the other? And I've always said that God doesn't care about the left wing or the right wing. He's a bird he's concerned about. This country isn't as divided as they want to paint it. And proof positive was down there yesterday. There wasn't a single shred of division down there. And there were black folk, there was Latino folk, there was Indian folk, Native American, there was whites, there was every color in between. Now, do we see an Asian? I don't recall. Nevertheless, there was a diverse group of people, and there was no division. Zilch. They accepted us, and we obviously accept them. So don't let the devil tell you that there's all this division in our country, because that might prevent you from loving someone that God is calling you to love. Remember, we were down here yesterday to do what? Preach the gospel and love our neighbor as ourselves. Just a few weeks ago, I preached a sermon where I was talking about how the Pharisee walked around the person that was beat up and left for dead on the street, and who was it that went and helped him? It was one of the homeless people under the bridge that went and helped him and brought him to the inn. In essence, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And it ain't no division, not like they want us to believe. We love our neighbor as ourselves. So I allow others the freedom to believe what they want without pressuring them to accept my beliefs. Last three. I look for and work toward balance. Yes or no? 11. I continually explore personal beliefs, values, and priorities. And finally, and this is a big one, principles, ethics, and morals provide guides for my life. How'd you do? Well, here's the comments. So you're in green if you got 9 or more yeses. Your rating is excellent. You're spiritually fit. And I would say that your habits in your life are enhancing your beliefs. Or your health, rather. Your beliefs are enhancing your health. If you scored 6 to 8, it's average, not bad, not that great, not bad though. And it says, you know, the comment would be, you're trying to, but there's room for improvement. And if you scored 5 or less, that's below average, you're spiritually not fit. And there is room for improvement in your daily life. And so we have to look at some areas and help us sharpen our arrow. And, you know, take this for what it's worth to you. Is this some locked-in final say? No. I sat down and I prepared this sermon, and it came from within me. This wasn't prepared canned material. I sat down and I was looking. I had several weeks to prepare, and I was thinking about my own life mainly and what I could do to offer insights to help me. And so when I prepared this, I sort of sat down and kind of dug inside and was looking at Scripture. And you know, the hardest part for me was to find the verse that we want as the springboard that was appropriate. And then God led me to the 1 Timothy 4 passage. And I thought, man, why didn't I think of that before? It's a great, because it fits perfectly. Well, that's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And so you're not going to find this in any books. You're not going to get this from self-help gurus. You're not going to hear this from psychologists, mostly, because this is spiritual. But these other areas of our makeup as human beings impact our spirituality. And so Solomon said, listen to advice and accept instruction. In the end, you will be wise. He probably said that 100 times in Proverbs, just in various ways. Listen to advice and accept instruction. And in the end, you'll be wise. You ever know a person that just says they're just incorrigible? Maybe you've met one. They just know everything. My brother told me one time, I know everything. He actually said that. I said, well, if you know everything, how can you learn anything? Listen to advice and accept instruction. So I switched these verses around. I'm sorry, the other one is underlined. I was on this verse, I was reminding us back to the underlined portion about promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So when we train ourselves in godliness, it has benefits starting today. And I normally wouldn't say, you know, if you do this, you're going to get that. And boy, if you do this, you're going to get that. I normally don't say that because that might sound like this health and prosperity gospel, which we certainly do not preach at Generation Church. But what I'm saying is what the Bible says. The Bible's telling us that if we train ourselves in godliness, that there's benefits now and in the life to come. Now, I don't fully know exactly what that means for you, but I can tell you this. I believe I'm just a little bit better preacher today than I was last Sunday. And that's because I was out on the street yesterday with you. I have more to say. I have more insights. I've been battle tested. There's all kinds of opportunities served down at the mission. You got Zealand family, that's one of their primary targets. You want to go serve, get a hold of one of them. They'll bring you. I remember Mary, what was it, maybe 30 years ago, huh? Something like that. You said, Pastor Vince, would you preach down at the mission? Remember? I don't know if you remember. You probably asked me 100 times. But I remember early on, they invited me to go down the mission to preach.
I wasn't a very good preacher then.
So if you want an opportunity to go down and serve at the mission or fill soup bowls or stuff bags or whatever it is, you certainly have that chance. And we are going to Cedar and Hiawatha again. I don't know when, but we will. And we don't need 100 people down there of us, okay? We just need 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 of you to say, yeah, I'll do that. We don't need 100 people. All you got to do is hand out bags. And we begin to get over into the place and stuff them bags up and get them ready. Pack them up in the truck, drive down there, open the doors, and just start handing them out. They come running like cattle. Because they know that there's a church there that are handing out stuff that they need. We had toiletries and food and water. A few of them in their excitement said, do you have any pop? That's because the van in front of us, they were giving out with their little burritos, they were giving out pop. And one of the ladies there, she started singing in Spanish. And I was touched. You talk about courage. She had that little box, you know, and she started singing, just singing to the crowd, you know, to the people that were there. And then the guy went back and then he started speaking in Spanish. He started preaching a little bit. He wasn't as polished, but he was out there trying and sweating. We were all doing that. And then she started singing again. And the guy that I was talking to, name was Pablo, he was listening and listening. And then all of a sudden she sang Elohim. I don't understand Spanish, but I understand Hebrew. Elohim is the name of God. And she sang that. So she was out there sharing her gift with all of God's people. Because even if you're not saved, you're still God's people. He created you. Now, are you a Christian? Are you born again? No. But you're still created by God. And so she's down there singing, and I was touched. There was a benefit for me to be standing there. And one of them was a spiritual blessing. And man, we left, like I said, all excited and full of joy. And we kept talking about the way we were having an after-action review like we do in the Army. Man, this is the way that I saw it. And this is the way that I saw it. Man, did you see this? And did you see that? And this is the way I saw it. And this is what happened. That's what we kept doing back and forth in the car on the way home. It was exciting. All right. Few minutes left here. So as I said before, I'm going to teach these things to us and myself, of course, and insist that you learn them. I must insist, friend, that you learn these without exception. And you put them into practice. Learning them has a component of sophia, which is the Hebrew word for wisdom, experiential knowledge. Greeks were specifically focused on head knowledge and philosophy. The Hebrew language is more emotive in that sense. And there was this notion of sophia wisdom. It's a type of wisdom. It's a personification of wisdom. Sophia has this notion behind it that, yes, it's wisdom, but it's wisdom gained by experience. And so I must insist that you learn how to be godly. And that you learn what it means to be godly and put into practice what the Bible teaches us about what godliness looks like. And it is a struggle. It is a struggle. Is it going to be hard in some areas? Yes. I can guarantee you this. All of us have at least one area of struggle. Is it going to be hard? Yes, it is going to be hard. But you can do it. You can do it. Let's say it together on three. 1, 2, 3. I can do it. You didn't do it loud enough. Ready? I can do it. With God's help, I can do it. With God's help. Remember, God's going to help us. But we have to train ourselves too. We have to engage. And so, here's how we sharpen arrow in this area of spirituality. You can go back to once Andy posts it, you can go back and get them online if you want. Maybe I'll come next week prepared with an insert and have them in there. We don't usually go along because all the media and all the phones and Apple stuff and all that nowadays. So establish, how many times do I have to say this till I'm blue in the face? Next week I'll wear a blue shirt, look like a blueberry. Establish a regular time for reading your Bible. You have to read God's Word, friends. You have to read God's Word. That is the primary source of our encouragement, our instruction, our being joyous, all of it. It begins with reading your Bible. I would encourage you to go back to the old school way. Have a hard copy and read it. Put the phone down. There's something spiritual. I don't know, Christian. We've talked about this in the past. There's something about having the Word of God in your hand. To having a Bible in your hand, there's something about it. And when you read the pages, you know, we know that it's living and active and it's like a two-edged sword. We get all that. We understand that. But there's something about seeing it written and studying it. So make a regular time daily to read your Bible. Not weekly, not every other week, not because it's good advice. Read it with understanding. And I only say that because I have college students in my house. Read with comprehension. It seems sort of obvious. But I remember when I was in seminary, I read things in a college read, like, and that was a whole half a page right there. And I just picked out three key words that kind of helped me understand what it is. And then you go on, I didn't read verbatim. The speed reading. You take courses on how to do that. You pick out the adjectives and the nouns. That's all you do. You can get right through it. But that's not how we should read the Bible. And that's not how I should preach the Bible. Have you noticed in the last 6 months, I often preach out of one verse and often one word. There's so much in it for us. There's so much meaning within it. So make a time to read your Bible. Make time for prayer, meditation, and reflection. All the same in that sense, meditation. Think about what you're reading. Think about what it says. And how does it impact the way I live my life? Am I doing good in this area? Let God test you. Be honest with yourself and with God. Third, volunteer. There will be nothing that'll break you out of a depressive stance than getting out on the street and witnessing to people and handing out food and doing what you can to help those that are less fortunate. Volunteering is powerful. And what better place to volunteer than at church? You're contributing to the needs of the saints. You're helping the body be built up and ministered to. And you're loving your neighbor as yourselves. Volunteer. Another thing is, you know, in these days they talk about mindfulness. Well, I don't want to be talking about mindfulness in much as I want to talk about practicing gratefulness. I think it's different. Mindfulness is being aware of ourselves as we're engaged with other people, aware of our thoughts and aware of our motives before we have them. We're trying to be mindful of where we're at so that we don't say things or do things that are out of character based on emotion. Or based on a bad decision, or based out of fear especially, or anger. So we practice mindfulness. That's kind of the theory behind it. But when I say practice gratefulness, that is where we say, God, I have a need and I know you can meet it, but I'm not ungrateful for what I do have now. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for all that I have, and I'm not saying it's not enough. So we practice this attitude of being grateful to God for what he's done for us, and especially about our salvation. Be open to be deeply touched by a song, poem, God's word, and others. All you have to do is watch me on drums on a Sunday, and you'll see tears running down my face on a particular day. I'll be over there choked up trying to read the screen so I can follow along. I'm lost in the shuffle. Because I'm engaged, I'm on another planet, metaphorically speaking. I'm worshiping God in my spirit. I'm open to be touched by the lyrics of a song or the rhythm that touches me. And I want to play the rhythm to share with you. And it encourages me. It builds me up as a human being, as God's child. Next, select a valued personal characteristic like patience or forgiveness or compassion, and then seek to deliberately develop it. Whatever it might be, take one of the values or one of the ideas of those personal characteristics and work on it. Work on being more patient. That's a good one for me. That's why I put it first. Because sometimes I'm not very patient. Not at all. And I like to get into people and blow them up. Hurry it up. Let's go. But sometimes I need to back off and be more kind. Be more subtle. And over the years, I've learned, and I'm still learning. I'm a work in progress. Can we all admit that? We're all a work in progress, aren't we? And finally, journal. This is a lost art. We haven't done this as much. Maybe you journal. Good for you. I don't as much as I should. I have a legacy to leave for my children. I want to leave them with a notebook that's relatively thick about my thoughts. My vision for this. And now here as I'm holding myself accountable because they don't know I'm about to say this. I want to have them have a thought for me for every day of the year. And I want to get this done before I die. Because on any given day, they will know that on June 6th, whenever, this is what Dad thought to write for us. It's leaving a legacy. And what I'm going to do is just write down on tomorrow where I'm at in my walk with God. I don't have to go on for 14 pages and write a love letter. Just capture a thought and get it on paper. What are you dealing with right now? And you know, them notebooks have 12 or 14 lines in them. You can fit a lot in there on a single page. So journal where you're at. And describe what you're feeling. I'm afraid. I'm happy. I'm sad. This is, you know, I've been working on this. I've been asking God for help, and there seems to be no movement. Lord, help me. Whatever it is you're thinking. And you could do this like when you make a time for prayer, read your Bible and journal. Look at there. You could do three of them in one time. All right. That's all I got for you today. Next time, we're going to talk about our emotional fitness. Worship team, would you come?